I took your Bible tonight. I want you to turn to the book of Malachi. Ain't that a shot? Malachi. I'm going to tell myself. I'm not supposed to. I got Malachi chapter 14 there. All right, take your Bible and turn to Malachi. And Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord of Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. You know, if the Lord says, I love you, he means it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He means it. He means it. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? That's quite a thing. You know what they're saying? They're saying, Lord, you don't love us. He said, I love you. Then you say, oh, you don't love me. Ever heard that before? Until I'm married. Yeah, but it's to the Lord too, brethren. Wherein hast thou loved us? And then the Lord says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Saith the Lord. Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And the land... I'm just going to stop with that right there. I'll go on. And I hated Esau, and the land of his mountains and his heritage was a waste for the dragons of the wilderness, wherein Edom saith, wherein impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate place. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord had indignation forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would help your people with this message tonight. I pray that it would strengthen them. And Father, I pray that it would help them in that time of trouble between their brother in Christ. When that time comes, and Lord, you know that it comes. It's part of our Christian life. But Lord, help them to be like Jacob and not like Esau in this matter of brotherly love. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, I'm taking this passage here and applying that to a Christian. And I'm applying the two brothers in Christ, where you have a brother in Christ, and the two brothers Jacob and Esau. And I want you to take your piece of paper tonight and draw a line right down the middle of the piece of paper. And I'm going to put Jacob on one side, and I'm going to put Esau on the other side. I'm going to put Esau over here and Jacob over there. I'm going to put Jacob on this side, and I'm going to put him down, and I want you to think about Jacob a while. One fella he says, I love. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And he says, I hate the other fella.
Yeah.
Said, that's a strange thing. I hate Esau, and I love Jacob, and yet they're brothers, and yet they're brothers. I mean, didn't you say, now, why did God hate the fellow? You said, God hate the fellow? God hated him. God hated him. You say, God hated him? He looked at that fellow and seen some things about that fellow and says, that fellow right there, I hate him. And he looks at old Jacob over there, and he says, I love that fella. Now, you ought to learn something about the passage. And I'm applying this passage as two brothers fighting. Two brothers fighting. So if you get your brother in Christ and you have a disagreement with your brother in Christ, and you disagree with something about him, you want to take good heed, brother, to this, because this is aimed at you. Aimed at you. Now, first of all, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis, and turn to Genesis chapter 25. And let's pick up Jacob and Esau, these two brothers fighting. Jacob and Esau. And turn to Genesis chapter 25, And let's look at verse 23. Genesis chapter 25, and let's look at verse 23. There it is. And the Lord said, let's pick up verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Phisrom, a sister of Laban in Syria. And Isaac entreated to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her womb. Now, this fight between Jacob and Esau begins right there. It begins right inside her womb. She's walking around one day, and Jacob reaches over there and sees Esau and goes like this. And Esau, bam! And her stomach goes, they're fighting already, Lord. They're already fighting. They're already fighting each other. Just, did you feel him kick? Oh, they kicked him. They kicked him. They kicked each other. She's going around there and says, oh, no, what's happening? Come on. I didn't make that up. That's what it says. That's what it said. And her children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people. And you say, what's that? That's the Lord taking and seeing Esau all the way down to the end, and taking Jacob and seeing Jacob all the way down to the end. And he says, I know everything about Jacob and everything about Esau. That's God's foreknowledge and seeing both fathers. And he sees everything this guy did and everything that guy did. But they're brothers. They're brothers. You say, why is that in mind? You know something? God sees both those fellows, and he says, I can't stand them to fight. I can't stand them to fight. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I can't stand to see those two guys fight. But let me ask you, how do you feel about it? Anybody have two sons? Anybody got two sons? Now, I got two boys. I'll tell you how I feel about it. I got two boys, and I walk in the bedroom, and here's John. He's got a hold of Joel's hair. And here's Joel on top of him going like this. Like that. What do? I come in and say, have at it. You think I say that? If you don't know me, I come in there and I come in screaming. Stop it! I said stop! And I throw this one over there and grab this up and shake him a while. And they're both bigger than I am. Shake him and say, stop it, stop it, stop it. You know, you got to come on nerves when they both can clean your plow. You've got to use some psychology there, boy. Hey, that'll wipe you out if they decide to. Throw this one up against the wall and throw that one over there and say, I will not have you fight. See, if I feel that way about it, how do you think the Lord feels about his brothers in Christ? How do you think he looks down at you and sees you? You think he just says, get with it, man. Go, get him, get him, get him. He doesn't say that. Lord says, why are you doing it? 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 He don't want you to fight. Why is it that Christians like to fight? Huh? Why is it you just don't let the thing go? Why is it you just don't forget about it and say, okay, Lord, I'll forget about it. Just forget about it and go on. Huh? How come you like to egg the thing on? Huh? Why is it? Why is it? But they do. They do. Lord, you know what he wants? He wants that thing between brothers to be right and have love for each other. Boy, I'll tell you, we got enough enemies in this world without two brothers hating each other. You get it? You get it? All right, now take your Bible a minute, and I want to see what the problem is. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to the Genesis, and turn to Genesis chapter 27, look at verse 41. And turn to Genesis chapter 27 and look at verse 41. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 41, it says, and Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. if Jacob take the wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these were in the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do unto me? Now look at that. Now skip down and pick up verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan, he took him a wife from thence. And that he was blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take the wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and mother, and was gone to Padan. And Esau saw that the daughters of the Canaanite pleased not Isaac his father. Then went out Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wife of which had Medlam, and daughters of Ishmael, and Abraham's son, and sisters of Nabak, to be his wife. Now, what did Jacob go out and marry these two women for? Why did he do it? Because Daddy says, I don't want you to marry those women there. I want you to go back home and marry some women back there. You know what Esau did? Esau says, My brother, he obeyed Daddy. I'm not gonna. So who did he marry? He marries two wives out of pure spite. You know what the problem is? He is mad at Jacob, and he's envious toward Jacob, and inside of him is jealousy and envy right down to the bone. And that's what Jacob's problem was, all the way from the beginning, right on down. He saw his brother and then got jealous and envy from it. See, you know what the problem is, why people fight? The Bible says only by pride cometh. Say it again. Contention. Only by pride cometh a contention. You know what the problem is? The problem is one brother looked at the other brother and says, he got the blessing, and I didn't get the blessing. You remember the story where Jacob went to his daddy and pretended to be Esau, and daddy put his hands on him and give him the blessing from Abraham? You remember the story where Jacob sold out his birthright? You remember? Come on. Now, in case you don't remember, I'll tell you the story. Went like this. One day, Jacob was around the campfire. He put a couple beans together, made him a big old pot of chili there, was cooking it. Jacob had it just flowing over there. Esau says, I'm going hunting. Esau went out hunting. He went up over the hilltop and looking for a deer. And he looked in the morning, couldn't find a deer in the morning. Looked all afternoon, couldn't find a deer. Didn't take no breakfast, didn't take no lunch. Just out there without anything to eat. And he couldn't find a deer anywhere around. Didn't even see nothing. Didn't even see a rabbit. Didn't see a thing. And he come back, and man, he was starved. He was hungry. Boy, he come back and saw that bowl of chili sitting there and says, man, can I have some of your chili? And old Jacob says, well, I don't know. And Esau says, man, I'm hungry. Oh, man, I'm starved to death. And old Jacob says, what do you give me? And he says, I don't have anything to give you. I don't have anything to give you. He says, you got the birthright. You're the firstborn son. You got the birthright. I'll sell your birthright. I'll give it to you for a bowl of chili. And old Esau says, why, you can't eat that. Birthright? What's good as a birthright? Can't eat that. Bowl of chili, man, that's for my stomach. I can eat that. Come on, let's go. It's a deal. And God Almighty's looking down over there, and God Almighty give that birthright to Esau. What does the birthright mean? The birthright means you got a blessing that comes from Abraham. That means your seed will be the children of Israel. That means you'll be the one that the children of Israel for years down and centuries come. You'll be that seed of the Israelite seed. That's the blessing of it. And you know what he did? He despised it. You know what some Christians do? Some Christians despise the fact that they're a born-again Christian. Despise that birthright. You know some? You got born again and you're God's child. And you ever tell me, somebody say, are you a Christian? You ought to say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, and I'm God's child. Man, you ought to stand up just like that. I was riding over here on the train last night. So come over on the train. A guy come walking down through there. And I could smell him. Boy, he had liquor all over him. He was just, Muhammad just brewing out there. And I didn't have my Bible or anything. I had my suitcase down here, my Bible in my briefcase. And he looked at me and said, "Can I sit down and talk to you?" And I said to myself, "Who likes all that booze blowing in your face all the time? Ah, man, that's yucky." But I thought, well, I'll bring out that Bible and see what happens. So I had my great big Bible here. And I let him sit down. He sat on the inside over here on this side so he couldn't get out. He sat down there. And I said, "I'm not going to put up with that whiskey long." So I opened up my Bible like that and opened it up. I says, "Let me tell you about going to heaven." And the first thing he said is, "How do you know the Bible's true?" I thought, "Oh, no." And I went through a verse and went through a verse and went through a verse and went through. And he says, "How do you know there's a hell?" And I went through another verse and went through another verse and went through another. And I preached to him till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't preach low either, man. I mean, that, I mean, they could hear me back that way and up that way. I preached to everybody in that train. And this guy kept going on and kept on going. Finally, I think the guy just got tired of me. And he said, "Yes, I'm a Christian all along. I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I've been saved. Yes, sir, I've received Jesus as my Savior. Yes, I am trusting in the blood of Christ. Yes, I am. I really am." I said, "You sure had me fooled." And you know something? I don't know if that guy is saved or lost. And I just finally let him go. And I still think he's lost, but he might be saved. Who knows? But I'll tell you one thing. He sure had no business drinking that booze and coming down through there and asking me all those questions an unsaved man asks, making me think he's going to hell if he's going to heaven. No business acting that way. He should have just come down through there and say, "I'm born again, I'm God's child." Why didn't he say that in the first place? Maybe he's like some Christians I know. They're, you know what's wrong with them? They're Christians, and they're saved, but they despise their birthright. Do you let everybody know on the job you're saved? Does everybody on the job know you're a Christian? They better know that. They don't. You're despising your birthright if you don't. And old Jacob despised his birthright and sold it out to him. And he's been jealous ever since, and jealous and jealous and jealous and jealousy. You know what happens to jealousy? Jealous, when you get jealous of somebody, that's the most terrible sin you can think of. That's the original sin. If you ever get jealous of somebody and you start backbiting them and lamb-blasting and blam-get them, you know what'll happen? That thing will come back on you. You know why I said Jacob of a loved and Esau have a hated? It has to do with one word. Envy. Envy. Don't you ever get envious of that preacher? If he does something you disagree with, you say this. Now listen to me. You say this. "Lord, he's yours. He's yours. He's yours. He's yours. He's yours, Lord. He's yours." And you get out of the way, and you keep your mouth shut, and you don't mess with it. Because you know what will happen? And the same thing goes with any brother in Christ. If you have a disagreement with him, and you have a disagreement with him, and you two guys saying, "Look at you," and you start straightening them out and get over here, and you start messing with him and get jealous and envy of him, and you know what jealousy leads to? Jealousy leads to bitterness. You know why Esau wanted to kill his brother? He got bitter and mad with him and mad enough to kill him. That's where it leads to. Now, take your Bible a minute, and I want you to turn to a verse. And I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel and turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. Turn to Ezekiel and turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. Now, turn to the verse. Ezekiel chapter 35. Now I want you to look at verse 1. In Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against," underline this word, "Mount Seir." Mount Seir. Now Mount Seir, it comes from Esau and comes from the Edomites. That's where it comes from. Now look at the last verse in the chapter. The last verse in the chapter says, "As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir." That comes from Esau. "And all Edomia, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now look at that. Now what's it in that context of passage? God, from verse 1 to verse 6, 15, God is talking about the Edomites. He's talking about the descendants of Esau. Now what is the problem? What is the problem? Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thy anger, according to thy," what?
Envy.
See it again.
Envy.
See it again.
Envy.
Envy. Envy. Envy. You know what happened to Jacob? And you know what happened to Esau? Esau loses his birthright, and he looks over at Jacob, and he envies him. And he envies him. And you know what will happen to a Christian? A Christian will look at some other Christian, some other brother in Christ, some other sister in Christ, look at them, and down in that heart there'll be envy. And envy turns into bitterness. And bitterness turns into hatred. And that's what happened to Esau and his descendants. You say, "But preacher, I'll tell you something. When you see me do something wrong, and you say, I got that preacher this time," you know what you do? You just forget about it and let it go. Get busy doing your own business. When you see her do something wrong, and you see her mess up, just forget about it and say, "Lord, you can take care of it," and you go and mind your business and leave her alone. You got that? And you know what happened? If you don't do that, then just a little bit of that old envy, a little bit of that old jealousy comes in there, and a little bit of that old jealousy comes in, and you're just kind of a little jealous. That's what's wrong. Now you say, but preacher, no! Keep your nose out of it! Leave it alone! Drop it! Forget about it! Let God take care of it! And if you do that, if you'll do that, if you'll just get away and say, "Lord, that's your business, she's yours, you can handle her. I got too busy to do this." And you do that, and the Lord say, "Fine. I don't envy your new house. I really don't. Because I know there's a lot of things come along with it." Amen. And you know what happens? You'll see this and that, and you'll envy that. You'll see her, and you'll start envy that. You say, and then pretty soon that thing will get bitter on the inside of you. Take your Bibles and learn the Hebrew. I'll show it to you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Envy and this leads to bitterness. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And it's many a great Christian, many a good Christian has got envious of his brother in Christ. And let that envious turn to bitterness and saying, "Oh Lord, if I just in the heart now," you won't ever say it outwardly. You never say it. You know what you say outwardly? You shake your hand and go, "Good afternoon. Good to have you. I love you, brother." And down in that our heart, that old heart's going, is an element of envy down in that that's getting bitter. And on the outside, you're smiling and shaking their hand. And you're being as nice and sweet as you can. And on the inside, down there where nobody sees and nobody understands and nobody, if you ain't careful, you won't even see it yourself. You'll say, "Oh, that's nothing. Preacher, I wouldn't do that." Want to bet? It'll be right there if you ain't real, real, real careful with it. That's what it'll do. That heart's like that. You say, "Preacher, get in your heart." That's why you got to leave things alone. If Christians just leave it alone, let God take care of it. You say, "But you don't know how mad I am." He was mad. That's what he did. He got mad, got bitter, and then he said, "I'm going to do something about it." And that's when you get mad. Let God take care of it. You know, I got my church over there. Back in the nursery, one of the little boys in the nursery in the junior church, he seen a lot of little old boy. No, I'm talking about 5 and 6 years old. He seen this other little boy, and he grabbed him on the neck and pulled him. Sunday school teacher says, "You quit that." And he says, "I can't." And then pretty soon the teacher gave him a bad look, and so he got up and started running. And so he ran back in the bathroom, and she had a couple other boys there, said, "Go get him." And these boys went back in the bathroom. They were teenagers. And this boy puts his arm around the other boy's neck like that and dragged him out of the bathroom. And took him back in and set him down. And then he still wouldn't be quiet. And the Sunday school teacher says, take him over to the church with the preacher. Yeah. Take him over here. Brings him in. He comes in bawling. Ah! Sits down in the pew there, bawling. I mean, everybody turns around and looks, you know. Mistake. Sit down. He's bawling, crying. And then the mama says, "What happened to you?" And the daddy says, "Be quiet. Tell him to shut up. Tell him to be quiet. Tell him to be quiet. Tell him to be quiet." And he said, "But you don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. He got hurt. He got choked to death." Likely story. And up he jumps. He jumps up. He runs out of the right during, you know, maybe. I just thought, well, I just preached him out of the pew. Didn't have nothing to do with me preaching. But, you know, out he went, you know. I didn't know what happened. I'd seen it there, but I could figure out about what happened. Out he goes. He goes over there. Runs in there and takes these teenage boys that grab him and says, "What are you doing to my son?" Pushing him up against the wall. You know, slams him up against the wall. "You want to hit me? You want to fight? Come on out of here beside the building." And he got so mad, took his boy, went home. And then the other boy, his dad, that was a teenage boy, come in and says, "Preacher, I tell you something. He shoved my boy. I think I'm going to take him to court." Oh, man, what's the deal here? You know what it is? They just get envy and jealous and mad at each other. That's no way for a Christian that has any grace of God to act. There's no way. And you say Christians don't do that? Do it all the time, brother. Do it all the time. You say that's a babe in Christ. That's a babe in Christ. You're a baby, you act that way. You say grown man, 50-year-old grown man, baby!
Amen.
Baby. You see, that's about your people. I love them both, but they're babies. That's where they are. You say, what should they do? Just forget about it. Yeah. Say, forget about it and go on. Forget about it and go on. Let God take care of it. God wants to clean my plow. You know how long it takes him? That fast. He can just go, "You're through." And I'll be through. So you better leave. You better say, "Lord, I'm out of the way. I'm hid. If you want to do what you want to do, I'm going fishing." And you get a fishing pole and you go fishing and you leave the other fellow run his own race. You know what's wrong with Christians? They always want to run the other fellow's race.
Yeah.
Running down there, "How's he doing? I'm running faster than you are. Oh, I'm out faster than you are. I'm ahead of you. I'm ahead of you. I won." But yeah. Man, you're in your lane, you run your race.
Yes, sir.
You let the other guy run. You'll never win looking over your shoulder. You come up last place, fellow. You keep looking at him, looking over here, looking over here. You stumble and fall. You mess up every time. Leave me alone. If I mess up, God can take care of me. And God can take care of you, too. You run the race, you do a good job, and you do what God wants you to do. And he'll take care of you. But you know, if you get a little jealous, just get a little bit jealous, look at her, get a little bit jealous of her, let that jealousy come up a little bit and get it gone. This is what you'd be like. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be a fornicator, a profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that how afterwards, when he would have inherited blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." You know what it was? He says, got in there, and that bitterness. What does envy lead to? Bitterness. Bitterness. And then that bitterness just gets in there and infests you, infests you, infests you, infests you, and it never gets better. It always gets worse. You better watch out when you get bitter against somebody else. Because underneath that bitterness is, what is the root of all evil? What is the root of all evil? The love of money is the root of all evil. Underneath bitterness is envy, and underneath envy is the love of money. You go all back to the root of that thing, and that root is money is the real problem of the whole mess. The love of it. The love of it. But you can't see it. You can't see the envy. But you'll sure get the bitterness. Get in you. Get in me. Get in me, brother. You know what I would do? I would say, Lord, help me get out of the way. Help me get out of the way. Help me hide, Lord. Get out of that mess. Drop it. Next time you find some fault or some mistake or some shortcoming or some sin in your brother in Christ, you just say, okay, Lord, it's they're yours and it's your business, and what you want to do with them, have at it, Lord. And then you get busy running and doing what God wants you to do. If you're busy enough, you ain't got problem to mess with somebody else. You see that? But it's hard to see sometimes. Now take your Bible, and I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse 31. Matthew chapter 23, verse 31. Said, beware, lest any root of bitterness spring up in you, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Turn to the passage, Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse 31. And it says, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, now underline this, that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets. For fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You know what he just said there? He just said, your fathers were a bunch of murderers and killers. And he said, you're the children of them. You say, what's that saying? It's like father, like son. Like mother, like daughter. If you get bitterness in you and get envy in you, it'll get on somebody else. And it'll infest your children, and your children will be bitter and hateful, and it'll go to that generation and the next generation. I'll tell you how to destroy your children. How many got children in here tonight? Got children? I'll tell you how to wipe them out. Have stewed preacher for lunch on Sunday. Follow me? When you get up, you say, ah, that preacher. You know some. I think he's just a little bit, he aimed that message right at me this morning. And that was just, he knew how I felt, and he knew what I was thinking. He just said that to get me. That's what he did. He knew that that would hurt me. He knew that would bother me. And he did that just to frustrate me and make me mad. You know something? I get blamed on more stuff the Lord does than you can shake a stick at. I don't have nothing to do with it. And they blame me for it. But you know what you did when you did that? You had a teenage boy right here, or a teenage daughter, that when you say that, you write off your children and write that preacher off. And you know what you're saying in reality? You're saying, don't listen to what the preacher says. None of it means anything. It's just a bunch of hot-headed, forget about what the preacher says. And you nullify everything that preacher says to your kids. And you know what you'll do to your kids? You'll wipe your kids out. Wipe them out. If you just let the Lord keep on doing them, Lord might be doing more with your kids than you think. Don't you want your kids to stay right and keep in fellowship with God? Then keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
You're welcome. I love you too. You say, preacher, why do you have to talk to bad attitude Baptist or negative Baptist blowout? Negative, brother. Negative. You say, why? Because positive, you got to have positive to make the thing work. How many poles is there on a battery? Two poles. Is one of them positive and one of them negative?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of preachers nowadays think everything's positive. Only got a positive thing. Nothing runs with just a positive. You got to have a negative. And a negative, you know why? Because you got to know where you're wrong before you can know where you're right.
Yeah.
And you got to take care of the wrong before you can take care of the right. And if you'll take care of that envy and take care of that bitterness inside of you and get that taken care of, God will take care of the other part. Now you take care of that part. Don't you let it get bitter and envy and mad at your brother in Christ when it's unneedful. God will take you and God will say, I won't have it. I won't have it. I can't stand you two fighting. Stop fighting! That's the way the Lord feels about it. He has a great love for you loving your brothers in Christ. You know, I look at my two boys, and I say, Joel, if John ever gets in a fight and you don't stand up behind him and take his side, I'm going to whip you when you get home.
Amen.
And his shoulders stick out to about here. And his chest is about that bigger than mine. And his stomach is as big as mine anyway. And he can lift my weight, and he can bench press me on a bench. He can bench press me on a bench. And you say, preacher, you ever worry? No, my boy loves me. And my boy's behind me. And they're for each other, and they're behind each other. And I can't stand them fighting. And brother, don't you, when your sister does something, you just overlook it and forget about it, will you? Will you do that? Will you just let it slip, forget about it, and let it slide? How about it? Will you do that?
Amen.
How about you? Will you do that? Just not bring it up anymore? Don't mention it to nobody? Don't say a thing? How about it? You say, preacher, why are you doing that? Because I know that it's a must for the Holy Spirit to not be grieved in this church and the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life. You say, prove it. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. I'll show it to you. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn to the verse. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Now, you believe the Bible, don't you?
Yes.
You're a Bible believer, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, let's see what the book says. Verse 19. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved. Now, listen to this. Avenge not yourself. But you say, oh, preacher, I'm justified. I'm justified. You don't know what they've done to me, preacher. Forget about what they've done. See, if you just let God take care of it, the Lord can sure take care of it a lot better than you can. But you know what it is? You just kind of like to get them, don't you? Hey, you men, do you ever once you kind of everyone just joking around with you like you kind of see whether we'll get our goat? You kind of come on, kind of like to get our goat now and then because you know what we'll get our goat, and you kind of just come on. And they, thank you, brother. Thank you. And you just kind of, you know, I mean, you love her. It's not that you love her. You just kind of get a go on her every once in a while. Like that. And that's one thing. That's one thing. But, brother, when this thing of just getting a guy just to get him mad because it makes you feel good and you know that he's really getting mad and you know it's really going to tick him off, that's another thing. When a man and wife do it out of love, that's one thing. But brother, this thing was just getting your brother back because you got you and you're going to get him. That's the old man.
Yes, it is.
That's not the new man. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord said, I'll take care of it. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Ezekiel and turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. Now turn to the verse. Ezekiel and turn to Ezekiel chapter 35. In Ezekiel chapter 35, I want you to look at the verse again. In Ezekiel chapter 35, in verse 1, it's Mount Seir. And in verse 15, it's Mount Seir, and it's Idumea. Now I want you to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, because thou hast had a what? A perpetual hatred. Now underline it in your Bible. A perpetual hatred. You know what got in Esau? Esau started hating his brother and hating his brother and hating his brother. And the seed of Edom, the Edomites, started hating the children of Israel. Like father, like son. They picked up on it. And that perpetual hatred carried on from generation to generation to generation to generation. And it's over there today, right now. Right now. You think America's going to do anything over that? I'll tell you, they ain't going to get rid of that hatred till the Lord comes back. They're going to hate him till that thing's over. They're going to hate him. You know why it is? Because that hatred got down in. It's like you hear that old thing, the McCoys and the Hatfields. See, hatred, hatred, hatred. Oh, man, a battle going on for generation after generation after generation. I'll tell you something, some Christians just like that. Get that thing going in you, and if you don't let go of that thing, and you don't drop that thing, and right at the beginning, right at the first, before it gets a hold of you, it'll grab a hold of you like nothing. You'll let go, boy. That thing will just eat on you like a cancer eat on you, and it'll spread to other people. It's wrecked many a church. Brother, it's wrecked many, not just a few. See something? Ah, oh, the preacher. The preacher! That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. And it ain't just one man. You go there and there and there. Don't you ever get jealous of him. Don't you ever get envious of him. Let him run his race and you run yours. Forget about what he's doing. If he ain't doing nothing, that's his fault. Amen. If he ain't doing nothing, that's your fault. Not his. You're not his, and you're not his, and you're not a brother. Don't you mess with him. Don't you mess with him. But you know what old human nature is? Human nature is, you've got to say, Lord, I'll run my race, and I'll do it to my very best, and I'll stay in my lane, and I'll do it, and I won't have envy or jealousy. And it's so easy to get in there and fall in there and get hooked up on it. Perpetual hatred! You know what God said? I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to Isaiah, and turn to Isaiah chapter 34. Make it Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel chapter 32. Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 32. And Ezekiel chapter 32. I want you to look at verse 29. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 29. And verse 29 says, now look at the passage. It says, there is Edom. Now who is Edom? Edom is Esau. Edom is Esau. Now it's a perpetual hatred. It's that envy. It's that jealousy. It's that bitterness in them. And now look at the passage. It says, there is Edom. Now look at verse 27. It says, and they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen unto the uncircumcision, which are go down to what? Hell. Hell. There's hell in verse 27, and it says in verse 29, there is Edom. And it says hell in verse 29. Look at verse 25. Right in the middle of verse 25, it says, go down unto the pit in verse 25. Look at the end of verse 24. Go down unto the pit, verse 24. Look at verse 18. Go down unto the pit, verse 18. Look at the middle of verse 21. All right. Of the midst of hell. You know what happens to that place over there called Mount Seir? And Mount Edom, the Lord comes down through there and said, I'm fed up with Edomites. I'm through with it. I'm through. I'm had. And God comes down through there and wipes that place off the flat face of the map and turns it into Sodom and Gomorrah and makes it nothing but a hell on earth.
That's right.
Hell on earth. You say hell on earth. Hell on earth. You say it there. In that place. Right there. South of the Dead Sea, Edom. And you said, preacher, why? Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And the root sin was envy, jealousy, and bitterness. He was jealous of me. Get bitter. Leave her alone. Leave him alone. Run your race. Do your job. And keep your mouth shut and let God take care of it. Can you do it? Can you do it? Will you do it? I want to give you one more verse. Take your Bible. Now, what should Jacob's attitude ought to have been? Take your Bible and turn to Genesis. And turn to Numbers chapter 20. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. Now, turn to the verse. We ain't no in a hurry. How many of you in a hurry? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 20. I'm glad none of you are in a hurry. You ain't got anywhere to go, do you? Numbers chapter 20. You there? How many of you are there? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're fast. Numbers chapter 20. And pick up verse 14. And Moses sent messengers. Now, the background in a minute, you got to get the background that you're there. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're fast. Numbers chapter 20. And pick up verse 14. And Moses sent messengers. Now, the background in a minute, you got to get the background. The children of Israel are coming up out of the land of Egypt. They've been in Egypt for 400 years. And they've been down in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're coming up and get ready to come into the promised land. And as they go into the promised land, they're getting ready to come in. And they come up to Edom, right up there, the Edomites. And they're getting ready to go in. And then Moses says this, verse 14. And Moses sent a letter over there to talk to them about going through their land. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king, underline it, of Edom. There it is. Thus saith thy brother Israel. Now, isn't that something? Thy brother Israel. Well, they've been down in Israel for 400 years down in Egypt. That's all the children of Israel. They've been down there for 400 years, and they suffered under cruel bondage. And then Moses gets to get ready to bring them all up there and says, thy brother. Thy brother. Now, Moses has the right attitude. Moses has the attitude, well, they're brothers, and we're brothers, so let's just forget about this whole thing, and let's go. That's the right attitude, brother. You take the same attitude. You say, we're brothers in Christ, we're born again, we're God's children, let's forget about this mess and go on. But that old human nature says, right? Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Drop it. Leave it alone. Let God take care of it. Can you? Will you? Be gracious. Got enough grace to do that? That's what God wants you to do. Now look at the next verse. And then he says, Brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. How for our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelled in Egypt a long time. And Egypt backed us and our fathers. What's he doing? He's applying to his pity. He said, have mercy on us, pity us. Man, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot, man. You don't know the shoes I've been. It ain't as easy for me as you think. And I'll tell you something, brethren, if you know what they had to do, you'd be a little more gracious with them. You know what they have to put up with. They put up with some things you don't think about. You don't even know about. You think, oh, they got this now, they got, oh, they have it. Man, they got a lot more than you think they got. You have a little pity on them? Be gracious with them? Merciful with them? And then verse 17, he says, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country, and we will not pass through thy fields or through thy vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of thy well, and we will go by the king's highway, and we will not turn into the right hand nor to the left until we have passed through thy borders. Now watch it. Verse 18, and Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. That's how he felt about it. He says, you think you're going to go through my land? We'll come out and kill you, that's what we'll do. And then the Lord says, don't you touch him. Don't you pass by him. You turn around, you go all the way around him. Don't mess with him. Don't even touch him. Ain't that something? That's the way the Lord... Now, what does the Lord want you to do? Leave him alone. Don't touch him. Just go around him. Leave him alone. Don't do nothing. Don't say nothing. So Jacob, have I loved him. Loved him. You know what God wants? You want God's love? Then drop the matter. Let God take care of it. The Lord says, I love you. That's what I want. You egg it on and egg it on and egg it on and egg it on. Get the thing going. Have a perpetual hatred going and a bitterness going there. And the Lord says, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. The Lord will be mad at you. You say, the Lord's mad at him. He'll switch it and get mad at you. That's what the Lord will do. You think he won't? He will too. Better leave it alone. Take your Bible, and this time I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and look at it again. Turn to Deuteronomy. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we encompassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward. And commanded thou the people, saying, Ye are to possess the coast of your brother, the children of Esau, which dwells in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore, and meddle not with them, for I will not give unto you their land, no, not so much as a foot's breadth. Now look at what he said in verse 4. He says, they're afraid of you. Shall be afraid of you. Then when bitterness and jealousy gets involved in it, you know what part of the problem is? Part of the problem is you're afraid of them. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not afraid of them. Down inside, there's a fear. Down inside, you're afraid. Drop it and leave it alone. Forget about it. And then he says to Jacob, meddle out with them, for I will not give unto you their land, no, not so much as a foot's breadth. He says, I won't give you that much. Don't you mess with them. Not even that much will I give you. You know what he's saying? Don't you mess with that other Christian. Leave them alone. Let the Lord take care of them and love them and go fishing. Go out and play a game of golf. Go hunting. But leave the mess alone. Let the other folk take care of it. Can you do that? And Christians have a fit with it. One more time. Take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And I'm going to quit with this one. Deuteronomy chapter 23. And look at verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 23. And look at verse 7. It says, Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite. Now, an Edomite comes from Esau. An Edomite is Esau's descendants. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you can't hate your brother. You can't hate your brother. You can't hate your brother. You got to love him. Ain't that a shot? Got to love him. Now, you may have good reason for not loving him. You may think you have good reason for not loving him. You may say, well, preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. Preacher, you don't know how they've treated me. I've got justification for feeling like I do. No, you don't. And if you do, God still told you to love your brother and let this thing slide and turn it over to God and let him take care of it. And he will take care of it. It scares me when I see it. It scares me when I see it. Every now and then I'll see me get jealous. I have my assistant in my church. And he's Sean Scribner. He's a young, handsome fella. And he sits in that chair, and I sit in this chair. My wife sits in this chair. And every once in a while, he'll sit in my chair. And I come in and say to myself, he's sitting in my chair, but my wife, he belongs on the other side of the table. Now, get over there where you belong. I don't say that, but I think that. We go to the restaurant. We sit down in the restaurant there. I put my wife right there, and I put my wife over there, and myself here. And I think, he's going to sit there where he belongs, on the other side of the table, not by her. And he sits down by her. And then something inside says, you don't belong there. You belong over here. You know what the devil's doing? He's trying to get me. He's after me. He's after me. You don't think he's after me? Well, I don't really have anything to worry about. I don't have nothing to worry about. I trust my wife fully. Trust her 100%. No, I trust her 100%. Why should I feel that way?
She's almost 50. But I'll tell you something. That old man don't change on the inside. If you allow him, I'll get something going. And I'll say, you get out of here. You're through. You're fired. Don't believe me? If I allow it and let the thing go, I'd fire him just that quick. I could. And then where would I be? I'd be without a song leader. But that ain't the worst part of it. The worst part of the Lord said, you did that, and you know that was just you, and you know that was jealousy inside of you, and you know that thing got gone, and it ain't good. See, I can allow it to happen, and you can allow it to happen too. Don't you allow it to happen. You cut it off right there and say, Lord, you give him a good wife. So I pray every night, Lord, give him a good wife, give him a good wife. Any young ladies around here that are single? They want a good Christian man that loves the Lord and loves the Bible. I guess the Lord has to take care of it. But you see? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Don't you let that envy, don't you let that jealousy down in there turn to bitterness and mad and take and get that thing twisted and get down inside and get some things going when you have no business letting it allow there. Now, I could end up hating him just like anybody else. But don't you do it, Christian. Don't you do it. I got one more verse. Deuteronomy. That's all. Every eye closed. Let's quit. I can go on forever. Every eye closed. Now, Christian, I want to encourage you. Now, down inside that old human heart of yours, you might have something happen. And your preacher hadn't told on you. Don't worry about it. He hadn't told on you. I don't know what I'm talking about. He hadn't said a word to me, so don't get worried about it. I don't know. So you don't have to worry about it. Now, honestly, he has not said a word to me. So don't you go away down here saying, well, Brother Modlish told. Because he didn't. He did not. I'm telling you the truth. He didn't. But I'll do this to help you out so you'll honestly go home and drop this thing if it's there. Maybe this is not the case, but I'm trusting the Lord give me this message because it is the case. And you take this thing and you forget about it. Now, I don't care what's involved or how guilty somebody else may be in the matter. And you in your heart say, I'm going to love them, Lord, I'm going to love them. And I'm not going to be bitter and mad about them. And I'm going to love them as a brother in Christ. And I'm going to let you take care of it. And you really love them. And I'll tell you how to do that. Give them something. Give them something. Think of something you can give them and give it to them. You say, preacher, you really want me to do that? Yeah, make it worth about $25 or so. Will you? Will you make it worth about $25? Don't give them the money. Just go buy them something nice and sweet. And something that would be useful and something that would be good. And give it to them. And then put a little note down there saying, I love you. And I want you to love me. Now, you say, that'd take grace. Yeah, it would take grace. Now, let's take grace. But I'll tell you something. That's why God said he loved Jacob. And that's why he said he hated Esau. Because of that sin that got in there and got destroying him totally. Wiped him out. Wiped him out. Will you? With every eye closed and every head bowed. I didn't want your preacher looking around tonight. I don't want anybody looking. I want you as a preacher.